and welcome to the second edition of Rules in Perspective. Rules in Perspective is a new segment on the Rules of the Game channel, where I reflect and comment on my own podcast episodes. My name is Stefan Kieburtz, and I'm the host of the Rules of the Game, discussing democratic institutions. In the last podcast episode, I discussed proportional representation in Canada with Réal Lavergne. I learned so much in that discussion about the progress and hurdles of advancing proportional representation. Réal has a lot of experience in the reform movement and provided great insights. You can find Rules in Perspective both as a video on my YouTube channel and as a bonus episode on my podcast Rules of the Game. It is also important to mention that these are my personal comments and do not necessarily reflect the views of my guests or the organizations they work for. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel to not miss a future edition of Rules in Perspective. So these are my three takeaways from episode 37. First, it looked like the broken promises by politicians are the norm rather than the exception when it comes to electoral reform. This is a typical time inconsistency problem. An outsider political party has every interest in electoral reform because it would make it feasible to win more and get a fair share of seats in parliament. Sometimes there is a landslide victory for such an outsider party. But then, once in power, that same party that was elected on the existing electoral law, the one that it criticized, then has little incentive to change that law, because it would likely mean that it would give power away. We observe that pattern time and again in countries with a first-past-the-post electoral system and where reform attempts try to make politicians commit to electoral reform. So in the case of Canada, the Democratic Reform Platform helped Justin Trudeau to get in power. Before the 2015 election, his party, the Liberals, were third in the polls. From that position, proportional representation obviously seems like a good choice. But then it won the election, and proportional representation suddenly became a bad choice, and Trudeau was able to form a government with 39% of the popular vote. But he gained 54% of seats in parliament. That's a huge bonus. But so he broke the promise to move the country to proportional representation because he was afraid of losing that seat bonus. And of course, especially the caucus members in parliament of his party have absolutely no incentive to change the system on which they were elected. The question is, how can reform movements prevent the broken electoral reform promise? I think the only way is through raising public awareness and building up political pressure. Second, Canada has seen several lost referendums on electoral reform. As the case of Canada exemplifies, winning a popular vote on electoral reform is extremely difficult. The one referendum that could be called successful with 58% in favor of electoral reform was the one in British Columbia in 2005. Unfortunately, specifically that popular vote had the extraordinary 60% approval threshold. So electoral reform got rejected anyway. In Switzerland, it took three popular initiatives to get proportional representation passed at the ballot box in 1918. The citizens rejected the proposals twice in 1900 and 1910. Back then, of course, only the male citizens were eligible to vote. So there was a lot of convincing necessary. Only in the third attempt, the voters passed electoral reform and changed the constitution with an overwhelming majority of almost 67%. I personally think that electoral reforms should always be approved by a popular vote, even though it needs a lot of educating and convincing of the voters. electoral reform that is passed by parliament only, always carries the risk of favoring those already in power. So there is a huge risk that the dominant parties in parliament reinforce their hold onto power through electoral reform. And we have seen many cases of that type of democratic backsliding. Importantly also to mention here is that popular votes should be bottom-up processes. And now to my third point, and that is about the change of strategy of Fair Vote Canada to use citizens' assemblies as a vehicle for electoral reform. I totally understand that Fair Vote Canada wanted to come up with a new strategy after many broken promises and a number of failed referendums. It seems obvious to look for new solutions when the old ways don't seem to work. There was this case of a citizens' assembly on electoral reform in the province of British Columbia in 2005 that is used as inspiration. It was apparently the first citizens' assembly in the world discussing changes in the electoral system. It was exactly this citizens' assembly that led to a result where the referendum was almost won. That referendum got approximately 58% support for the yes side. The question is, how much of that high approval can be attributed to the citizens' assembly? That I don't know. Real seems convinced that though it was an important element because it got a lot of publicity. The remaining question here is, why should politicians implement the recommendations by a citizens' assembly, and how could you ensure that politicians would actually implement it? In the end, a popular vote seems to be the appropriate institution to approve any electoral reform proposal. So I believe there is no way around campaigning for electoral reform and educating the people as much as possible, even if it takes many attempts at the ballot box. The question of electoral reform is about raw political power. I do not see a reason why a party should follow the recommendations of a citizens' assembly when it means losing power. I hope Canada can prove me wrong. If a citizens' assembly is highly public and conveys public discussions, then it seems a good preparatory stage for a popular vote on electoral reform. Thanks for listening to this second edition of Rules in Perspective. I really appreciate you've taken the time. If you want to hear about other cases of electoral reform, please listen also to my other episodes on this subject. In my first podcast episode ever, I discuss electoral reform in the US, and I make comparisons with the introduction of proportional representation in Switzerland in 1919. The episode is called The Dream of a Truly American Democracy. Then, with Jack Santucci, I discuss proportional representation in America. He has written the book More Parties or No Parties, The Politics of Electoral Reform in America. And I think he's one of the most knowledgeable scholars when it comes to electoral reform in the US. And finally, an inspiring case of electoral reform, especially for countries with a Westminster-type system, is New Zealand. With Jack Nagel, I discussed how New Zealand successfully switched from a first-past-the-post to a mixed-member proportional system. As always, I link to all episodes in the description below. Please subscribe to this podcast and also check out my YouTube channel, Rules of the Game, discussing democratic institutions. Thanks a lot for listening, and see you next time.